Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown is moving on, bringing an end to months of speculation regarding his future.
Today, I'm announcing my plans to resign as mayor of Buffalo in the coming weeks. I will start a new opportunity as president and CEO of Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. Over the past two decades, we've transformed Buffalo together, revitalizing our waterfront, growing our economy, improving our infrastructure, and building a stronger, more inclusive community.
Not all offered such a glowing assessment of Brown's time in office. State Senator Sean Ryan provided a muted response in a statement, hoping Brown could clean, quote, up the culture of corruption at OTB, while saying his departure from City Hall provides, quote, a chance to address our many challenges with a clean slate. The public advocacy group Our City Action Buffalo was unsparing. Quote, there's nothing more to be said. Byron Brown has failed us all. Council President Chris Scanlon, who will take over as acting mayor once Brown leaves office, released a statement highlighting what he called Brown's, quote, steadfast commitment and how it has helped transform Buffalo, laying a strong foundation for our future for which we are indebted. Scanlon says he's looking forward to his new role with excitement and optimism. As Brown departs city government, one of his most controversial initiatives takes effect today as officials begin imposing fines on drivers observed passing stop school buses, which have been equipped with stop arm cameras. The city engaged in a 90-day public awareness campaign to announce the change. Drivers face up to $250 fines. The Amherst town government is being accused of a lack of transparency. Paul Wolf of the New York Coalition for Open Government is highlighting the proposed bylaws for the Amherst Government Financial Advisory Board, whose, quote, meeting will be closed to the public due to the confidential nature of the business of this board. In a release, Wolf noted how Amherst residents were outraged over recent tax increases and advised, quote, the best way for town officials to build trust with the public is to operate town affairs in an open and transparent way.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Canadians marked National Truth and Reconciliation Day across the country Monday. In Ottawa, a solemn ceremony was held to reflect on the legacy of Canada's residential schools. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
Parliament Hill in Ottawa was ablaze with orange shirts and ribbon skirts as people gathered on a nearly perfect autumn day. It was a scene that was reflected in other cities across the country. More than 150,000 children were forced to attend the church-run, government-funded schools from the mid-1800s to the late 1900s. Thousands suffered physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. Historians estimate that about 6,000 Native children died, although some experts say the number could be much higher. In Ottawa, Canada's Governor General Mary Simon, who is Indigenous, was one of the leaders who spoke.
Today, we commemorate the thousands of lives forever lost or traumatically impacted by the residential school system. We honor the resilience of survivors who continue to bravely share their stories so that we may learn. In their stories, there is unspeakable pain, but there is also tremendous courage and determination to emerge into healing and light.
The Ottawa ceremony was one of many to take place across Canada to mark Truth and Reconciliation Day, which officially began in 2021. It was one of the calls to action in the final report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Only 11 of the 94 calls to action have been implemented. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau traveled to Inuvik in the Northwest Territories to attend Truth and Reconciliation events there. As one political leader put it, reconciliation isn't about politics, but about justice. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
COVID-19 impacted all walks of life, and that is certainly the case for the theater. From Broadway to Buffalo, audiences have been returning at an uneven pace. Community theaters also suffered, and now 12 in the region are working together to boost their collective prospects.
Western New York X was started as a way to elevate and really promote community theater as a cultural destination. Most of us are nonprofits. We don't have the high profile of an Irish classical theater or Alleyway or Ujima. And so many people don't know about us.
Right.
Theater reviewers have their hands full just covering what I call the Buffalo Theater Beltway.
Right.
But there's a lot of high quality, very entertaining and deeply moving theater going on out there.
Lori Orovec stopped into WBFO to talk about Western New York acts. While they're trying to combine marketing resources, including their website, WNYACTS.com, the collaboration is providing other benefits.
Props are great to share.
I can imagine, because they can be expensive, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, Rocking Horse is doing Steel Magnolias. It closes this weekend. They needed a prop gun. We had one, so they are borrowing it.
Audiences, of course, are needed to make community theater possible, but Orovec says there is another very important element.
Volunteering is something for theater requires a bit of a longer-term commitment. So if you're working on a show, let's say, it probably requires, unless you're ushering or working in the box office, if you're working on putting a show on, it's about a six-week process or more.
Okay.
And it's everything from set building and painting to costuming, gathering props, figuring out lighting. So it's a short commitment, but it's a little bit intense for that short period of time.
Yeah.
But at the end, you give birth to this amazing, magical performance. And that's what makes it all worthwhile. It's a collaboration, really, between the creative team and the team that's executing. And what's important about community theater is we're volunteers, right? So you want your volunteers to have creative input. You want them to feel that they're part of the process, that they're not just being asked to do.
The 12-member theaters come from the South Towns, North Towns, Orleans County, Genesee County. Some are well-established, like Aurora Players, formed in 1934. Evangola Community Theater just got its start this year.
There's Lake Plains Players, which is more in the northern part of Western New York, in Medina, Lockport, Albion. They're doing Seussical in November. And then we have Main Street 56 Theater, which was formerly Batavia Players. Open Door Productions in Niagara Falls is going to be doing an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. We've got Opera Lights. They were formed in 1994, and they do Gilbert and Sullivan.
Wow.
They focus on Gilbert and Sullivan shows. They're doing HMS Pinafore in October.
Two members, Raiders of Niagara and Town Players of Kenton, will be partnering for a children's workshop and Christmas show. Rocking Horse Productions is preparing for a musical cabaret, A Blast from the Past, in November.
There's Inclusive Theater of Western New York, which is Buffalo and Lancaster. They, along with Unique Theater, are really focused on bringing in folks who are maybe neurodivergent or have some sort of disability to make sure that everyone can participate in theater. So I think those two theaters are really, really doing a great job.
And if that list was too quick, you can find a link at WBFO.org. There's also a longer conversation with Lori Orovec, who acknowledges that for most, community theater is an avocation, though there are outliers.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, he says he got his start at community theaters.
Wow.
Ben Cameron, who is known for Footloose and a little musical called Wicked, got his start in community theater. Jane Krakowski, Emma Stone. And then in our own backyard, there's Christopher Handley, who's executive artistic director of Alleyway. He got his start at Aurora Players in our kids program, which is called Project Stage, when he was a teenager. So check us out and check out some theater you haven't been to in a while. You'll find out you were missing something.
Lori, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.